Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Le'ilui Nishmas Abi Mori Arav Hill, Be'meir Yechiel Mechel, and Le'ilui Nishmas Reb Jerry Acker, Zichrono Livracha. We are in Melachim Aleph Perek Chaf. Ben Hadad, who was the king of Aram, put together a big army together with 32 kings who worked under him, and he laid siege against Malchus Yisrael in Shomron. And so he sends messengers to Achav, and he says, everything that you have, your gold, your silver, belong to me, your wives, and the best of your sons, I'm going to take them all. So Achav thought that Ben-Hadad meant that his Malchus would be under foreign rule, and that he'd have to pay a tax. So he said, I agree. And why did he agree to that, says the Radak? Because, quite honestly, he feared that he had a lot of Averus, and if this is the punishment, he'll take it. So Ben-Hadad sent back that he intended to take everything, not just the tax, and Achav refused. Ben-Hadad would send messengers to search everything that Achav had and take it by force, not just the gold and the silver, but even the most precious treasure, the Sefer Torah, says Rashi. Taking a Sefer Torah would mean that the Malchus would be taken from him. So Achav said, too much. The Torah was not his, it belonged to Ziknei Yisrael. And so Achav calls all this Canaan together, and although Avodah Zarah was widespread, people still had respect for the Torah, which is kind of funky when you think about it. So Achav didn't want Ben-Hadad to take the Torah for a different reason. He knew that taking the Torah away from Am Yisrael would lead to Am Yisrael's downfall. So Hashem wanted to test Am Yisrael to see, would they be aroused to tshuva, would they show respect for Torah from then on? And so he put it into the heart of Ben-Hadad to ask for Machmad Einayim, the Torah. And now Bnei Yisrael have to try to figure it out. Are they going to give up the Torah? It would be a big downfall. So Achav tells us Canaan that Ben-Hadad requested his money, his gold, and his children, and that his intention was to go to war. So Achav says to himself, listen, should I hold those things back from him? And this Canaan said, don't give in. So Achav sends back to Ben-Hadad, he agrees to pay a tax, but not to allow Ben-Hadad's messengers to search the homes and take the gold, the money, and the children. Now Ben-Hadad sent back a message to Achav, and he says, look, the dirt of the Shomron won't be enough for my soldiers' feet to trample on. That's how bad I'm going to come nail you. And let not you should just understand, Achav says, back to him, he said, make it clear, don't brag, you haven't won anything yet. Now Ben-Hadad heard this while he was sitting in the shade, and he was shikor and in the shade. So he turns to his servants, and he says, fine, go ahead and prepare for war. Right? Thinking that would be an easy win, Ben-Hadad decided that he and his 32 kings would send the servants to war. They weren't going to go to war themselves. And the Navi, who Rashi identifies as Michio ben Yimla, comes to Achav and he says, do you see the size of the army? It's impossible for you to be victorious without a miracle, but I'm going to give them into your hands and you'll know that I'm Hashem. And as long as Achav thought he could win with his own strength, he'd be defeated if he recognized that it came from Hashem. Only then would it happen, and that would be done so that Achav would recognize Hashem, and he would do tshuva. So who should be on the front line? So Hashem says, the Navi answered that Hashem said to him that the sons of the leaders in each city's Malchus, in each city of Malchus Yisrael should be on the front line. And the young people were hardly ready to fight a war, which would make the miracle even bigger. So Achav says, who should lead the battle? It couldn't be him. He was Obed Avodah Zarah. So Achav was thought that he should, Achav was told, you know, you should lead, and you'll get the zchus from Hashem for bringing the Nevi'ei HaBaal to Eliyahu, and for the Amunah of going out with untrained people, you should go ahead and lead. And so the door for greatness was open for Achav. If he could just go ahead and rise to the occasion. So he prepares the sons of the leaders, and there were 232 with another 7,000 people who didn't serve Baal, and there behind them. And they went out in the middle of the day without the cover of night. Since Hashem was fighting for them, they didn't need to have their strength or their strategy. And Ben-Hadad is drunk, and he's sitting among the kings, and they're ready to assist him. And they continue to drink, thinking they had nothing to worry about in Shomron. There was nothing going to be involved in this situation. And youth come to the city. Ben-Hadad sent to see what was going on, and he was told of the advancing army of Shomron. And so Ben-Hadad said, no problem, I'll put fear in their hearts, they'll die fast. If they come out for peace, capture them alive. And if they come out for war, capture them alive, he tells his men. And Achav's army killed every single one of the soldiers who tried to capture them. And the people of Aram saw this, and they began to run away, and the Shafir of Hashem was on them. And Ben-Hadad even got on his horse, and he ran away. At first, Achav had been afraid to go out, but when he saw that they were running away, he went with his soldiers in hot pursuit, and he struck the horses, which caused the riders and the charioteers to fall off. And so with them now running on foot, Achav's men caught up to them, and they dealt a very big blow to the great Aram army. So then, what happened? The Navi tells Achav to get ready for war, because Aram is going to come before the year was out. And in preparation, it meant being involved in Masim Tovim, getting rid of Avodah Zarah. And now that Achav had seen such a large army delivered into his hands, he was expected to realize that Hashem was the one who made things happen. And Achav knew that his ways were bad, and that he was unworthy of the miracle. And so the Navi told him, strengthen yourself with tshuva and ma'asim tovim. Meantime, Ben-Hadad's servants told him, is because they fought on the mountain. They said that Am Yisrael's Hashem is on the mountain. If he went in another place, they would defeat them. So the servants told the kings, don't go out in front of the battle. You should be more involved in the back. Send lower-ranking soldiers to the front. They would be able to make a name for themselves, and this way they'd grow. So by the end of the year, Ben-Hadad has his strategy, and he has his new ideas, and he brings the soldiers of Aram and went to Aphek to go ahead and fight Am Yisrael. And the same army that faced Aram went out again, and they encamped across from Aram, while the soldiers filled the land. The soldiers of Am Yisrael were vastly outnumbered, but no new soldiers were added. In fact, Achav saw that not one of them had died in the last war, and this army was chosen by the Navi. So the Navi goes to Achav to tell him that the Yeshua comes from Hashem. And since Aram said that Hashem is only on the mountains, not in the Emek, not in the valleys, so the army is going to be given over to him. But Achav, you're still serving Avodah Zarah. It wouldn't be in your schus. That was the first message. And then he tells Achav that he should not have any mercy on Ben-Hadad. Kill him this time. It's a war of Ruchnius. And so after 7 days of encampment, the war begins, and Am Yisrael kills 100,000 soldiers in one day. And the 27,000 Arami soldiers who were left fled to Aphek. And there they thought that they would be saved, as the king of Yehuda was at peace with Aram. But as they went into the city, the wall of the city collapsed on them, which killed nearly all of them. Ben-Hadad had also escaped to Aphek with his closest servants, and he took cover in a room, in a cheder b'so cheder, a room within a room. And the servants told him they heard the kings of Malchus Yisrael were Rachmanim, so they should just go ahead, put on sackcloths, put on ropes on the necks, like that you're going to be a prisoner. And if you go to Achav, maybe you'll save your life. And so the servants did that. And they set out to Achav with a message from Ben-Hadad that he was prepared to serve Achav if Achav wouldn't kill him. So Achav asks, wasn't he killed in the battle? And then Achav said foolishly that Ben-Hadad shouldn't be afraid. He was like a brother, and Achav didn't harm him. And this is a mistake. He should have killed him. And instead he appeased him. So the servants had only thought to test whether the kings were gullible to think that Ben-Hadad wasn't an enemy. When he gets called Achi, they thought he was posing in order to learn where Ben-Hadad was. And so they quickly moved to make peace with Achav, So Achav couldn't retract. Yeah, Ben-Hadad is your brother. So he says, bring him to me, says Achav. So Ben-Hadad approached Achav fearfully, saying he would give back the cities that his father had taken from Malchus Yisrael. And he said Achav could make marketplaces in Damasek, just the way that Ben-Hadad's father did in Shomron. And when you make an official pact, you'll do this, I'll send you off. And Ben-Hadad did so, and so he's allowed to go back to Aram, which is exactly the opposite of what he was told to do. And so Michio, the Navi, comes to a friend, and he says to him, smack me. As this was the word of Hashem, the friend said, no way. He says, well, you didn't believe in the word of Hashem. When you go away from me, a lion's going to attack you. And that's what it was. And everyone knew that whoever disobeys the Navi is Chayav Misa. And so the Navi found another person. He said, smack me. And he did so, and he hurt the Navi. That wasn't a good sign for Achav. He was told by the Navi to kill Ben-Hadad. And just as the one who refuses to strike the Navi was punished, Achav is also going to be punished. And so the Navi goes to the road where Achav would see him. As he passed by, he put a cloth over his eyes so he shouldn't be recognized. And as Achav passed, the Navi cries out to him, I fought the war, and then I was told to guard an Arami prisoner. And I was told that if the prisoner escapes, I would be killed or I'd be fined tremendously. So all I know is that I was doing work here and there, and now the prisoner's gone. And so Achav says that, you know what, the judgment is that you should be punished. You yourself decided by accepting the Shemira, the guarding of the prisoner. So So the Navi took off his disguise, and Achav realized, whoops, he was one of the Nevi'im. And so the Navi said, you should just know that Hashem says, because you sent away the person I told you to kill, you're going to also be chayev. You're going to pay with your life. And your nation is going to be taken in replacement for the nation of Aram. So Achav continues on his way home to Shomron. This time he's very angry and upset. And that's how we close out Perek Chaf. And Bezos Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up Perek Chaf Aleph with the story of Nabal's vineyard, which ultimately leads to the ultimate downfall of Achav. We'll stop here. Everyone have a great day.